Greetings to you, sweet friends. It is I, D. Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, the only podcast on the planet that has received 8 Forbes Golden Conversation keys. One more key, and I will finally be able to open that rectangular glowing copper box they keep in the alchemical laboratories far beneath Forbes. And once I get that box opened, I'll at last be able to knife the squid lord that they keep inside, that monstrous creature that's been sending out vibratory waves of despair that have been causing the particular sector of the multiverse that we exist in to grow in increasing levels of vertiginal, nauseating absurdity. I'm going to transform that into joyful absurdity. All I've got to do is knife that pulsating little Cthulhu motherfucker that the people at Forbes, for no good reason, are holding imprisoned far beneath their amazing company. In the meantime, we're going to do what we can to try to transform your consciousness into something that isn't quite so muddled, despair-ridden, terrified, angry, unhappy, overly dramatic, stuck in some kind of psychic sap, wriggling about like some poor little caterpillar creature that fell into the street that you saw when you were a kid, and you picked it up because you wanted to save it, and you brought it over into the grass, but right when you put it down, a spider ate it. We are going to attempt to do a classic psychic extraction technique with this episode of the DTFH, which is to remind you that your ultimate identity is divine, that you're co-creating the universe with God, and that if you want to and are brave enough to dream the great dream, you can actually very quickly expand outside of the dark constraints of your preferences that could be keeping you anchored to a mediocre existence instead of allowing you to access your hyper potential trademark, I own that, and explode through the great veil of the particular part of the multiverse that you are in, like a silver cannonball through the chest of some malefic, ancient, gigantic vampire. We're going to cannonball your ass right into paradise just by allowing you to hear this conversation with one of my favorite manifestors. He doesn't like that term, living on the planet today. These people are great. You need a few of them in your life at least, because if you don't have somebody playing the sweet pan pipes of potential paradise, then you can very easily find yourself spiraling down, 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 past the wreckage of a million Titanics, down, 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 into some kind of Dante's Inferno style ice lake, some subterranean methane-filled cavern where super intelligent toads croak insults at you while you wriggle about in some kind of hell realm, completely amnesic to the fact that if you only focus and believe and apply not just discipline, physical discipline to your life, and not just repetitive discipline to your life, but to the discipline of allowing the alchemical manifestation chambers that exist within your consciousness, known as the imagination, to project realities that aren't always the very worst possible amygdala-inspired event that could happen to you. You can actually, if you have the guts, simulate insanely beautiful potential lives for yourself. And I'm not saying sit around smoking the old daydream pipe like some opioid addict all thin and broken with pierced nipples and some horrific gonorrhea eating your face away. I'm talking about combining this positive mental attitude, the strange thought experiment of co-creating the universe with some kind of hyper-intelligence far more advanced than you, which is actually you, and see what the results are. As Noah says over and over again during this conversation, be empirical, study it, find out for yourself, is it possible to formulate within your mind some potential new reality that you don't exist in yet, and just through belief alone, just through some form of attaching your imagination to whatever particular node of the multiverse you're existing at in a more advanced state, is it possible that you can actually change the world around you? Dive into that terrifying ocean of miracles and synchronicity, the opposite of the wasteland of disappointment, darkness, and cynicism that is so easy to get lost in. And before you know it, you'll just be humping a dead coyote carcass and pretending you're making love to a god, when the reality is you're just humping a dead dog. We want to see if we can use our imagination to travel out of the land of dog necrophiles and enter into the land where people make love to living gods. Speaking of dogs, I've got dog problems lately, friends. I want to tell you the saddest story that you ever heard. My dog pissed on my couch. My dog pissed on my couch. I give him walks, I give him love, I give him food. My dog pissed on my couch. My dog pissed on my couch. I project my mortality onto my chihuahua. So I overreact when he seems old. Dramatically threw the couch off the porch. If you think that it's easy to get a new couch, you're really wrong. You're really fucking wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. It takes weeks to get a new couch, my friend. Probably easier to get a kidney than to get a new couch. Today's new sponsor is a wonderful company called Burrow. When you're looking for new furniture, there's a lot to consider, like how are you going to get it in the door or up the stairs, or how you're going to move it. Thanks to Burrow, you don't have to stress about any of that. Burrow makes simple, adaptable, easy-to-move furniture that can be assembled and disassembled in just a few minutes. Plus, it ships to your door fast and free. Burrow's clever design means it's easy to set up, easy to move, and easy to add or remove seats as needed. Burrow sofas feature naturally scratch and stain resistant fabric, sturdy hardwood frames, and soft non-toxic foam cushions. There's even a built-in USB charger. Burrow's totally customizable, so you can pick one of five fabric colors, three leg finishes, two armrest styles, any length, and you can even add a chaise lounge or ottoman. Plus, they just launched the Nomad Leather Collection, featuring their same convenient design, now with the option of top grain Italian leather upholstery. At Burrow, 1 week shipping is always free, and they stand by their furniture with a risk-free 30-day return period. Right now, you can give your living room the upgrade it deserves with a Burrow sofa. Get $75 off a new sofa and free 1 week shipping by visiting burrow.com/Duncan. That's burrow.com/Duncan for $75 off a new sofa. I only wish that these people had contacted me before the insane couch drama that I just went through. When you've got a baby and four dogs, one little thing can disrupt the ecosystem and you can find yourself suddenly in a living hell as you go tearing down the interstate to get to a living spaces in the middle of some never-ending strip mall area where actual pterodactyls fly through the sky because your dark mood caused you to enter into some kind of alternate part of the simulator where they're actually monsters. It's Jacob's Ladder, except with couches. This doesn't have to happen to you. Head over to burrow.com. Give them a chance. These sweet darlings took a chance on us. If you're looking for new furniture, check them out. It's burrow.com/Duncan. That's burrow.com/Duncan for $70 off a new sofa. Friends, if you've been up at night screaming at the ceiling, how the fuck can I help the DTFH? All you got to do is go to patreon.com/DTFH and sign up. You'll get an extra hour rambling thing from me, as well as commercial-free episodes of the DTFH. There's lots of weird stuff over there. Go check it out. We also have a shop located at duncantrussell.com with t-shirts, posters, and glorious DTFH-associated merchandise that you can adorn yourself, your friends, your family, your neighborhood with, and hopefully help us continue on the trajectory that we're all enjoying together. That trajectory being at last escaping from the Gnostic prison of our own minds into the kingdom of heaven. And I don't think you can do that without a DTFH t-shirt. I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest. I met him years ago at the Ram Dass retreats. He's got a wonderful podcast called Synchronicity. He is a really positive, contagiously positive person who has tuned in to some of my favorite manifestors, even though he doesn't like using that term because it's a confusing term. But today we have a wonderful conversation about manifestation and about allowing yourself to open up to the possibility that you are a lot less limited than maybe you think you are. All the links you need to find Noah will be located at duncantrussell.com. And now, everybody, please welcome to the DTFH, Noah Lampert. I've been dying to talk to you, been following your tweets, and we had a nice conversation, but it seems like you've had a kind of breakthrough, and you have gone into the deep waters of manifestation, and the last time we chatted, I had such a wonderful conversation with you. I think it did trigger some kind of chain reaction in me, because after the conversation, I started thinking about manifestation again. I put the whole concept on hold temporarily just because I decided, like, well, I don't know, man. Maybe it's bullshit, but what if it's not? And if it's not bullshit, then it means that my own limited understanding of things is going to start bringing shit into the world. And then, but isn't it better to say thy will be done than to try to, you know, in your own mind, project the future that you would like for yourself? Because isn't the grace of the divine going to create something for you far more spectacular than what you could imagine? Which brings me to my first question in regards to manifestation, which is, number one, let's break it up. Number one, how did you get into it? Where are you learning this stuff? And number two, don't you think it's better to allow the universe to give you gifts than to create these gifts yourself?
Totally. Oh my God. Best fucking question ever to open it. I guess the first thing I'd say is, yeah, it's been a breakthrough. This happened to me before 16 years ago, and I didn't know what was going on, and I described it as one giant synchronicity, and what was happening is everything I was thinking like would almost immediately come true, to the point where this didn't stop for 3 months, and it freaked me out. But now I kind of did it myself, and we'll walk through how I did that. But here's the question. When you say divine, thy will be done, and universe, if you're thinking of something external to you, you're failing the test. And it sounds kind of like blunt and dickish to say that, but when you fully understand that the sense of I am in you, your imagination, that's God or source or universe or Krishna or Buddha or anything. And you're also you. This is what the Rastafarians call I and I. It's this big God I am and you. You still get to be Duncan. I still get to be Noah.
Oh, shit. That's what I and I means?
That's what I and I, and that's why they smoke weed. That's, you know how much I love weed. Like, I've had every logical and objective reason outside of something being bad for me and bad for my family, but like, I smoke a fuckload of weed and I've always wondered why. Like, I've known I love it and I know it's not bad for me. And I've had to question this because sometimes I smoke a lot. And what the Rastafarians use it for, and people who smoke a lot of weed or just are familiar with cannabis, is it shifts you into these imaginal realms. So I use the word imagination and consciousness interchangeably, but that sense of I am, what you have in your skull, right? Up around your brain area. I am Duncan. I am happy. I am successful. I am sad. I am depressed. That's God. That's literally everything. That's what in the Bible, I've got super into the Bible. I never thought this would happen, but that's what Yahweh is, right? That's Yahweh. That's what we can break that down kind of alchemically and prove that this is an operative thing. However, before we get totally off in the woo deep end, what I like to say to everyone is don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's fucking word for this shit. Do it yourself. Empirically test these techniques. Prove it to yourself. Build the ladder of faith where you know this is an operative principle and this is actually how it works. And then come back and figure out kind of what the implications are. And just as a caveat, bring an ethical framework with you, which I don't have to tell you and your listeners, but like, you know, think about the ethical framework. Use this stuff lovingly. It's just a good idea. We can go into that specifically why later.
You're saying don't manifest stuff that's going to hurt somebody. Don't use it for sorcery. Don't use it to manipulate people. Don't do non-consensual manifestation. Is that what you mean?
We're doing it anyway, is the point, right? This, your state of consciousness internally is constantly being reflected back to you in the world. We like to think of the world as the cause, but the internal I am subconscious / unconscious, that's the cause. Everything out here in this world is an effect, right? This is what William Blake would call, you know, is just, but this is a shadow. This is mortality, a shadow of mortality. It's not a thing that if we're trying to use this world to gain insight into what's really going on, it's like looking at a very small part of someone's skin and being like, oh, that's Duncan. Like I saw his like left pinky. I know exactly who Duncan is and what he feels and what he loves and what he doesn't love. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a weird way to try to go about it. A mantra I've been kind of telling myself is, and it's weird, this shit will definitely flip your world upside down. This is definitely kind of like popping out of the matrix if you fully grok this shit. And all your fears, all your doubts, all your anxieties, it might feel like you're actually going to die in real life. Kind of like a psychedelic trip where your ego feels like it's dying, but you may be convinced you're going to get hit by a car or some shit. You won't. Don't worry. What's happening is you're psychically killing the version of yourself that doesn't want to deal with this reality, right? If this is true, what I'm basically saying is that your imagination creates reality. It precedes materiality. That means every fucking thing in your world, and this applies to everyone, is your responsibility. And the logical and analytical mind fucking hates that shit. That's sure. Like, that's apocalyptic. You know what I mean?
But isn't it also, this is, I want to dwell here in this, what you're saying and why I think people have resistance to it and why it can be, it can create a kind of like existential vertigo.
Yes.
Because you have to deal with the fact, number one, that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Yes, yes.
Was not, that whoever wrote that song meant it. And that weirdly, Row, Row, Row Your Boat is almost like an occult mantra. And a lot of people don't realize that. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Oh.
And you see, and you know, it's advising a kind of way of navigating within this universe. And it's also, you know, sort of suggesting an attitude. And then it's also, you know, it's finishing off with what for a lot of people is, it would be initially a really delight. And then if you really think of the implications, almost nightmarish, depending on how deeply you're attached to the dream.
Correct.
And that to me, I think is the place where people shut down when it comes to this stuff, don't you? Which is like, if you want to do this stuff, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're kind of in a dream. And if you're in a dream, then that means that the same thing that happens to you when you wake up after dreaming that you've had this life or that life, been this thing and been that thing, gained this, lost that, the same thing that happens, which is 2 hours later, you're like, whatever.
But that's who cares.
That could happen to this, your son, your daughters, your mothers, your brothers. You wake up and it's like,
no.
Oh, fuck, that was nothing. It was a wisp.
Oh no, they're still real. This is where it gets really trippy. And what's cool about where we are in linear time right now is we're moving into kind of this paradigm where this is becoming more apparent that these are how things work. And what I've noticed is as people kind of just try this out and test it out, and just to be clear, like we're talking about pretty heady concepts. I use this technique I had just had another kid, our second son, Gabriel.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. He's fucking awesome. He's been in the hospital twice. It's been fine, but he's totally cool. The proof of this shit is when you're dealing with a very difficult situation and you know you're good. That's when it gets fucking like, oh my God, I think this stuff is really, really, really powerful. I started with money. I started with like the most base level thing that people would think is like not a good thing to start with. I just started with money. I was like, I need money. And then very quickly afterward, it popped open. And then what I started to realize.
What do you mean it popped open?
I just popped open a money portal. It was insane. And it continues. And it's just it. And then when I got attached to it, it disappeared for a day. I'll break it down. Won't talk in being vague, but I got weirded out to it. There's a graph. There's a visual graph that shows this. So what happened was I was using these techniques. You tipped me off to Mitch Horowitz. So when I went to go see him in the city, he tipped me off to the OG of this stuff who honestly, listen, everyone is you, which sounds crazy, but this guy, Neville Goddard, this aspect of us was a saint. And I had never heard of him, but he was in Mitch's book. And there was something about his voice, in his voice, Mitch's in the audiobook, where I was like, dude, this guy really loves this guy. Like this, of everything I just heard in this audiobook, like he loves this guy.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going to check him out. So I went on SoulSeek, which is this like ancient peer-to-peer file software thing with a really good name that I was using in like the early 2000s, like a Napster competitor. And I was typed in his name, Neville Goddard. And there was like 70, 80 talks. And I was
like,
of his fucking voice, dude. And he died in 1972. So a lot of these are from like the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So it sounds like shit. And I was like, whoa, like I'm going to listen to this. So I'm like mowing the lawn with it jacked up and it's like hissing and scratching. And he's just talking about a variety of things. He's talking about how imagination creates reality. And then he starts talking about Jesus Christ. And I grew up Reformed Jewish, which is like Jewish light. Like we barely do anything. Like it's not very religious at all. So I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. But when this happened to me 16 years ago, I had a distinct feeling for like at least a few weeks that I was Jesus Christ. And that's a weird thought to have knowing nothing about him.
Usually a bad sign, right? That's like a manic episode sign.
Well, I just did an episode on mental illness because I think what's happening for a lot of people, we're misinterpreting, but we want to be clear that you also want to stay grounded and connected to this world. So I thought this was brought on by like a nominal hit of LSD and kind of got launched into space. So when I'm thinking of Jesus Christ, that's exactly the thought I have. Something is wrong here, or it eventually came in. But anyway, flash forward to like a few months ago, and I'm hearing Neville Goddard talk about what he means by Jesus Christ. And what he says, first and foremost, I've only heard him say like a few things in the negative, saying like, no, this is wrong. And one of them is that any historical interpretation of the Bible is just like wrong. It's just like they got it wrong. And like, it's just like, don't look at it like that because it's wrong. What it is, he says, is kind of a psychological, not kind of, a psychological interpretation of what people go through in this world. So every character in the Bible, every situation in the Bible is a psychological state we pass through. And so where this culminates in the New Testament, which I was not familiar with at all, is known as Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ is, isn't a guy who's going to come up and fucking save everyone. But it's a state of consciousness where you wake up to what is actually going on, where I and I is actually not a conceptual reality, but a real reality. And you don't do this in like some weird esoteric cult-like way. You do it empirically. We use our logical mind. We use our ego. We use all of these things. We use our desires, which truthfully are just God-given gifts. And we're giving them to ourselves so we can feel fulfilled. So we can move into the version of our reality. Mm-hmm. You use the word manifesting. I try to avoid it just because I think it's like charged, like God.
Yeah.
I like to use select the best version of your reality. Select the best version of you. Just be the best version of you because honestly, and you get this, right? If we all move in to the best version of ourselves, what happens to the world around us? Like, we all start carrying around water bottles and recycling and realizing, like, we don't have to eat like this all the time. Like, weird shit starts to happen when you appropriate certain states of consciousness, and they're empirically testable techniques. And the only resistance I've really met on that in terms of how far it can be taken or whether people are actually going to do it, are people just like, nope, sounds like bullshit, not going to do it. And it's like,
that's
okay.
That's the first wall.
That's, yeah. And it's like, cool. But if you start testing this shit, it gets so, I mean, it is the only metaphor I can use, it's cliche, but it really is like popping out of the matrix. And if you stabilize these states of consciousness and you don't just, you know, collapse back into a smaller version of yourself who's afraid and anxious and like, maybe this is wrong, I don't know, you're golden. And you start doing what you always wanted to do. You express every part of your being and recognize it's not wrong. And then shit can get a little weird because you start moving into this non-dual, like, right and wrong area, right? And that really can bump up against external reality if you're not working on yourself. So
here's an exercise. Check this out. This is a fun one that applies to what you're saying that I've been playing around with. One of my favorite things is Robert Anton Wilson's recommendation regarding this stuff, which is maintain agnosticism. So for a lot of people, that first wall, the wall of like, fuck that. It's just a bunch of new age crystal gazing, you know, bullshit. This is a bunch of sage burning desert fucking mushroom nonsense that you're not gonna, you can't, none of it, it's just what, the secret. You know what I mean? So, okay, fine. That's a justifiable reaction to the term only because in the worst case, sometimes manifestation is a spiritual bypass, a pathetic yes. spiritual bypass to avoid sweating or something. You know, it's like it's a magical thinking that does nothing. Okay, fine. So to me, I will love what you're saying, especially the part about you have to have an empirical approach to this. So step one is, okay, you're probably right, but what if you're not? Let's find out. So let's just climb over the wall of skepticism into the next zone, which is the place where you can begin to experiment with a part of your laboratory that you'd walled off because you made a set of assumptions, usually based on some kind of rational assessment of reality within which making shit happen that is a million times more miraculous than what you ever thought you could do seems like a waste of time. And so, okay, take that fucking wall down for a second. And here we are in this new place with the bubbling beakers. And so for me, what I've been doing is using simulation theory as the, using the vernacular of video games and simulation theory to play around with this line of thinking. And so specifically, like, okay, we're in a massive multiplayer interdimensional role-playing game that is not just this particular zone which we're in, which is whatever your subjective universe is, right, but there's literally an infinite number of other games running where you are the main character. And then that's where we hit the continuum of potential self, not just in the positive, by the way. So, and that's where it's fun. So one visualization exercise I've been doing, and it's definitely not something you'd want to do over and over again based on these theories, which we'll get into, and I'm looking forward to your description of them. Because a lot of times with this stuff, people are like, imagine the greatest version of you, like what you said.
Yeah.
How about this? Imagine the worst version of you, right? So now,
Don't do that.
Now let me explain why.
Okay.
So just based on this framework, the very worst version of you that you can imagine is happening right now in a different zone of the game, right? So while you're playing this game and you've achieved whatever achievements you have, or there's achievements you don't have, or there's mistakes you made or whatever, somewhere in this incredible hard drive or server or cloud within which all these multiple realities are being generated, there's a version of you that's like at the beach, digging through a fucking trash can, trying to find a ham sandwich. You've got like, you know, I don't know, like very, like a shit ton of horrific diseases. You got beaten a few weeks ago. So your like mind is like kind of like going in and out. You're stuttering. You're super sick. Maybe you've got like, I don't know, 4 months left to live or something like that. You destroyed your life, but you'd barely even remember that, right? So you imagine that being, right? You. And then you have compassion on that being. And this is the fun thing. You try to draw that being out of that part of the simulator into the you that you are now. So then if you do the visualization exercise with as much courage as you have, and you really allow yourself for a second to operate as that being, then you, when you pop back into the you that you are now, you'll experience a wild relief.
Yes.
Because you're no longer that being anymore. You've literally jumped through the simulator into this identity that you currently are right now. So the reason I say it's easier for us to imagine more degraded versions of ourselves than to imagine more advanced versions of ourselves. But what it does is it produces, I think, a kind of like way to understand how this shit is done, which is...
It's the feeling. What you're...
Yeah.
There's alchemy going on there, dude. That is a really, I don't mean to cut you off if you have more to say either.
The last piece of it is this. So within this, and it is a quick last piece, imagine the possibility that not only can you in some way or another visualize this version of you, but imagine that that version of you is already existing and seeing you as you are now and pulling you into it. So that it's a two-way street, so to speak.
Yes. So welcome to the new reality is what I would say to you.
Cool.
This is legitimately what's happening. I use the technique that Neville Goddard referred to as revision, where you go back to situations that are traumatic or difficult that you didn't handle with grace or could have went better, or just you want a different result and you imaginally recreate the scene, and the same type of healing that you just described takes place. What I love about your idea is I just tweeted this out today. So I used to do this meditation, which I learned from this sound healer guy who talks like fifth dimensional beings. So like straight woo. I took my very non-woo friend to like this thing in New York, and he was like, whoa. I had never felt that high in my life on anything. It was insane. But anyway, the technique in the meditation is you would imagine connecting with a future version of yourself that was perfect. And today I tweeted out, now when I do this meditation or do this thing, I'm sending it back to that other version of me saying, I got you. And it literally is kind of the same thing that you're describing. This is what we do. And when you know that this is how it works and you have techniques and you prove it to yourself and you're not relying on anyone else telling you anything and you know you're going to use it lovingly and benevolently, like watch what happens to this world over the next, like it seems so improbable because if you look out in the world, there's so much horrible shit going on objectively,
mm-hmm.
but recognize the way to actually turn this shit around. Not like hopefully, I think so, maybe, but is literally summoning forth and healing all of those hurt versions of yourself from the worst to where you are now to the best and bringing them in together. Like that's how we move this dimensional reality into just like, I don't want to say Shambhala because I don't, I think
I use that word all the time for it. I think that's a fantastic way to describe it. Just define Shambhala.
It's just an enlightened society. It was Chogyam Trungpa's vision, who is just a real classical trickster archetype mystic, who also just, I recently found out, dealt with a tremendous amount of personal suffering that wasn't spoken about. I found that from someone deeply inside of Shambhala. It explains a lot kind of what has happened through various branches of it. But I also know some of the best people I've ever come across come from Naropa and that lineage. So he really was crazy wisdom. But Shambhala is just kind of this like utopian enlightened society where everyone's collectively moving up together. And if we want to look at it also in Vedic terms, Sri Yukteswar, who was Paramahansa Yogananda's guru, and the age of the guru is dying, so this is somewhat relevant. But a lot of people think this is the Kali Yuga. And if you look outside, it's easy to think that everything is going to hell, that everything is getting worse and worse. But Sri Yukteswar, based on his calculations of yugas, which are these long time cycles, actually was like, no, 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 this is the Dwapara Yuga. This is the period of time where light slowly emerges and people wake up to what's actually going on. And these things last like 600, 800,000 years. And we're towards the beginning of it. And it feels weird to kind of rebalance how you look at reality. But again, that's where I think the benefit of these specific techniques or anything that can get you there, whether it's mindfulness or anything, is you do it yourself. You prove it yourself. That's the most important part of it, because otherwise you may always have that doubt that, oh, did Maharaji do it for me? Did Maharaji do it for me? I mean, I have some funny takes on Maharaji now, and still very much like, what an amazing being who just obviously connected a lot of other people, but it's you, right? He's you. That's what he was saying to everyone over there all these times. That's why he's throwing apples at the Westerners and hitting them on the head and saying, go. He's like, it's you. It's not me. It's you.
Okay. I want to take a little break here, but and when we come back, I want you, if you don't mind, to give us a few of these techniques that you've been talking about, some beginning level techniques that we can start this strange experiment of, I guess you could call it not manifestation. I've been thinking of it actually as multiverse navigation,
yes,
through
that's a
visualization.
Really good term for it.
But let's, when we come back, let's talk about that. Why in the name of God's sweet green earth would you spend your precious life energy slithering through grocery stores, slipping in child diarrhea, falling into rotting apples and old pulpified diapers when you could be enjoying cathedrals, groves, forests, and drinking mead from a barrel? Instacart allows you to spend your glorious human incarnation worshiping Pan, spending time listening to wind chimes, enjoying the tweeting of birds, or working in your workshop making magical puzzle boxes that can transport people into soul prisons where you can control them for eternity. Instacart, they will get you groceries delivered in as fast as 1 hour or at a time that works with your schedule. They've got exclusive coupons so you can save money without having to clip and cut all those coupons. One of my friends cut his arm off clipping coupons in a terrible accident. It's dangerous and risky. Instacart will potentially save your life. You're not going to bleed out on the floor of your kitchen surrounded by the coupons that you managed to clip, looking at the terrible wound that you inflicted on yourself because you weren't paying attention. You can get Instacart to pick up groceries at your favorite stores. They're delivered from local and national retailers. You choose. Get the app or go to instacart.com and shop the groceries you need from your favorite local retailers. They will deliver your groceries in as little as 1 hour or at a time you select, and they're going to keep your hot items hot and your cold items cold. Try Instacart right now, and you'll get $10 off your first order. To get this limited time offer, go to instacart.com or download the mobile app and enter my promo code, Duncan, at checkout. That's $10 off your first order today at instacart.com or through the mobile app. And don't forget to enter my code, Duncan, instacart.com or through the mobile app with my code, Duncan, at checkout. Support these sweet darlings, for they are supporting the DTFH. Now back to the show. All right, we're back. So let's hear it. What are some techniques that we can use to do the experiment ourselves?
Yeah, this is the gold, right? So I'll add that I find it helpful to write down this first thing I'm going to describe. I was omitting that at first, and I realized the power of it, of writing down also with like a pen or a pencil in physical space. There's something to that. I don't exactly know why, but it's important for imprinting it kind of in the deeper parts of your subconscious or I am-ness or unconditioned awareness.
You want people to pause and go grab a pen and a piece of paper right now?
Yeah, you can do this though. Like, I'm going to recommend people do this before they go to sleep. So if you just
listen. Okay.
But I mean, like, yeah, like there's no harm in just like bootstrapping this right away and doing it. Like, you'll do this to the degree of which you really want this stuff. So the first thing you're going to do, and I'll point out, this took me about 36 years, 35 years to figure out. Step one, you have to be clear about something you want and okay. know that you want it. And I didn't think like this in life. I weaved together an amazing life, but I didn't know you had to really just pick something. So you can pick with anything you really need, or it can be a small thing, or it can be the biggest thing. Do whatever you feel is appropriate. And you can pick that now and until you actually do the technique. So the technique is super fun and cool. You're essentially going to enter a drowsy-like state, like a hypnagogic state.
Okay.
The cool thing about this is you can do this before you're going to sleep because you do it every night. It's this liminal boundary between going to sleep and being asleep. And you do it every single night. So that's a perfect time to do it. But you can also do it just like a regular meditation. You can just get in a comfortable chair. And the other cool thing is you don't have to be sober if you don't want to. You can be high. You can be drunk if that's what works for you. You can do literally anything that works. You'll know what works. You'll recognize when it works. But there's no like perfect, holy, I have to do this right state. It's just relaxed attention. It's what almost every basic mindfulness or one-pointed focused meditation is looking for, but don't sweat it is my point.
Okay.
So you're looking for this state, and then what you're going to do is your desire or the thing you want or the wish, you're going to construct, you're going to have your eyes closed, right? You're going to sleep or you're like you're taking a nap. A state akin to sleep is what Neville Goddard called it. And you're essentially, not essentially, in your imagination, you're going to build a scene that implies what you want, the wish, has been fulfilled. Mm. So this is a scene that would directly follow the thing you wanted happening. And this is key. And you're also going to do this from your own perspective, your own point of view. So the way I would describe this is, don't watch yourself climb a ladder like it's a movie. Like, be in your body climbing the ladder. That's a very important distinction. You're going to feel yourself into this scene, and you're going to construct this scene, a very short and compact scene that has the same sensory vividness as this world, at least the same. Don't make it too comically different, but at least feel it intensely and see it, feel all the senses you can load in, as many as you can.
Cool.
The real alchemy is this, is feel it. You need to feel how you would feel if this had actually happened, right? That is the most important part of this. I do a little turbocharge thing. So if you also imagine that you knew you were going to imagine this for yourself, it also instills this sense of wonder and awe into the thing. And this is what happens. If you're going to sleep, just go to sleep. That's it. If you're waking up from your meditation and it feel like you did it right, just get up and that's it. And you're going to lightly carry this around with you, kind of like a fragrance, just, but you're going to assume that it's done, that thy will be done, right? Just
wow.
Like you're, so you're going to assume that it's been done, and do not take any additional extra steps to make the thing happen. You're going to wake up the next day. If you're, you know, wishing for something, don't make that extra call. Don't do that extra thing. Don't get Jack and Jill to help you out with that thing, right? The reason you don't want to do that is because when this thing happens that you imagined, if you did these extra steps, your logical analytical mind will step in and say, oh, here's a bridge of incidents that led to this. That's like, of course, I did this, so that happened. So it needs to be kind of like exactly like you said, let the universe, which is you, come up with some crazy situation that allowed it to happen. So here's what happens. You step into the first one of those and you're like, holy fuck, what was that? You're like, that's weird. Okay. All right. This guy on the podcast said some weird shit. What is going on? Then you do it again. And then it happens again. You're like,
but okay. Wait, I'm sorry. Let me stop you for 1 second. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
But what if your thing that you're wanting is so tremendous that it requires extra effort? You know, like, what if, like,
great question.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So here, and there's two schools of thought to this. One is you don't mention your thing and your desire to people out loud, because what you could happen is if you're doubting it, you'll see it reflected back at you. Whenever someone doubts you on something, that's your doubt being reflected back to you. That's what everyone is. They're just, so that's one school of thought. Whoa. I'm ballsy as fuck. All right. So I'll tell you what mine is, right? I pulled the ripcord on something that radically changed my life in a really good way, but also just in real life, this world had crazy implications. And what I wished for after I got the money, after I got dropping, like feeling shitty and just like feeling unfulfilled, is I pulled the ripcord on meeting my creativity, like fully, my creative potential, hitting it, doing what I've always wanted to do. And holy shit, man, like talk about things needing to scale up quickly to make it happen. So I didn't say that you don't do anything to achieve your desires. Like I'm making an album right now. Right. I still have to make those songs, but I'm not forcing it. I'm not saying I have to call this guy and get this lined up. I'm just doing it, letting it come. And it's coming the most effortlessly, most transcendent, beautiful way I could possibly imagine. And I'm witnessing it and I'm loving it. And I'm just like, oh my God, this works for anything. So it can be a huge thing, but those steps will naturally happen. Like if let's say you did it for you wanted to be the best version of yourself and you weren't specific. For me, I always imagined myself like not as an emotional eater, but I didn't load that into the scene. But lo and behold, when I became kind of a different person psychically, I don't emotionally eat anymore, dude. There's days where I won't go for like 18 hours, not get hungry at all, exercise all day long, do garden work, do all this stuff. And I feel fucking great. Like today is one of those days. And like, it's just...
But what I hear you, man, but I'm thinking like, okay, I just saw this insane house in San Francisco. It was on the news. It's like a $20 million house in San Francisco. What if you want that, right?
You want it? I just had a friend do this with the house specifically. She picked it up in 3 weeks. And so
I'm using it as an example. I'm not going to vocalize what I'm working on because I think I fall in the other school thought, but only because just to truly play in this case, truly the devil's advocate. What about that? Like, what about, I'm talking about like the things that are so insane, astounding, ridiculous desires that where I am right now, to me, if I were just to write it down on paper, seems a fair distance away from, you know, having the papers to that $20 million house in San Francisco, which, by the way, I don't necessarily want that. But you know what I mean? So, like, I get
what you're saying. I totally get it. Here's the truth. It may be uncomfortable for some. If you understand what I'm pitching out here and you try it and you test it, yeah, it's yours. You got it. No problems. If you use this lovingly, it will absolutely happen. You may think in your mind that I need $50 million to comfortably buy this house. You have no idea what the circumstances that would lead to you living in that house and having the papers to
right.
It absolutely works. This is why I say use it lovingly, have an ethical framework, use the golden rule. Because here's what happens if you don't use it lovingly. It's not like you're going to do some fucked up shit, although we see it in the world. There's something called the law of reversibility. So that means if you start using this for other people, which I highly recommend you do not, use it for yourself, because that's what actually changes reality. But if you like wanted someone to do something for someone and you wish it for them and you'd use this technique and or one of these techniques, right? And they're not capable of wishing that for someone else or themselves, it bounces back off them and hits you. So if you're using it not lovingly, watch the fuck out. If you're using it lovingly and it bounces off them because they're not capable of that state of consciousness and it hits you, great. If you're not already there, you're just going to up level. And this—
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Really, really is important. And another—
Wait, let me, hold on. So, okay, for example, I'm thinking, of someone, I want them to have like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some small but cool thing. I want them to find a girlfriend.
Yes.
I want them to find a perfect soulmate person for them. But if my wanting that is not because I love them and I want their lives to be better, but because of something like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to manipulate a situation or I'm scared for them or I'm there's
you
a
want them to go away. Let's just use a situation that's not real, but like you just want this person to find someone so that you don't have to deal with them.
Right. So I send that out. This person, they somehow act as a reflector for that intention. It comes blowing back to me. And because I'm sort of in a dark state, then that means that some sort of failure comes my way. Is this like the thing they say, like anything you do, it multiplies by 10 or something.
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly what it is in the Bible. That's the psychological thing. So yeah, this is exactly how it works. The key thing to remember here is your current state of consciousness is constantly being reflected back to you all of the time. Like, people wonder what synchronicities are. This is what I've been telling people. This is my direct experience, and my direct experience only is your life is a symphony of synchronicities, and you're the conductor. And the song you're conducting is a song to wake you up to who you really are. If you really get into that flow and understand what that means, like, life becomes something very different. It becomes that merrily, 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 life is but a dream, but not in an existential dread, oh my God, sad way. It can be that, but this is, like, truthfully, if we get, like, you know, relationally weird about this, we take bodies to experience this stuff. It's fucking amazing. Thank God everything we think in our head doesn't immediately happen. Like, thank God we have this fun dimensionality of minimal time where we have, like,
right,
a second to experience or a year to experience something, or we can change our mind. So it really is a playground, and it seems super serious. And when you say that and look at the suffering in the world, it sounds wrong. You bear witness to what's going on out there, because that is internal suffering. So if you know how to heal it in yourself, you intuitively draw out the circumstances that heal it in the world. But everyone has to do this. Gaia, the planet, is a big ass thing. So this is like a co-imaginal act that we're all going through. But the way I see it at this point is we're multidimensionally jumping onto the timeline. Like, at least the one I'm in, where shit is getting good. Like,
well, this, okay, so here's the thing, man. This is like the way that I have, okay, a quick story. Yeah. There's a great church in LA you should go to in here. It's called Agape. And it's somewhat inspired, or majorly inspired, by many of these, I don't know what you call them, philosophers, mystics. And it's a man, like, they do talk about this idea of, like, you know, you're co-creating the universe with God. You are limiting yourself if you use love as your compass. And add to that visualization, then you can radically transform your life in ways that you can't possibly imagine, or that if you're in a limited state of consciousness, you can't possibly imagine. And I can remember they were having, like, some kind of lotto or something, where, like, somebody was, it was like you could win a car. And I was thinking, like, wait, is this like a fucking manifestation contest? In other words, like, does the person who won the car, they did the best manifestation, right? And, but what it really, to what it was my mind's way of sort of illustrating a problem I had at the time with all of this stuff, which is there's only one of those cars and there's a shit ton of people. There's only one $20 million mansion in San Francisco. There's only one this, there's only one that, right? But if you add multiverse theory to this stuff, and imagine that, no, in fact, there's enough cars for everybody. And that's the miracle of the loaves and the fishes that Jesus did, right? The dividing of the bread. Because that the idea is, like, you are not just limiting yourself by imagining there are only a certain amount of this thing or that thing in the world for you. You're limiting yourself by imagining there's only one world. And the moment you sort of allow yourself the fantasy of there being infinite worlds happening simultaneously, that for me is where I can make some kind of math work within which this stuff becomes very, very possible. And if you add to it that this thing that we're inside of is some form of simulation, that is designed, as you're saying, to wake you up to who you are.
You are designing it. That's the key, though, right? You're designing this simulation, if that's the lens you want to look at through. I'll say one thing, like, stable imaginal acts create this world. So if you believe in something like astrology, I love astrology. It's an amazing modality. I've really been getting into it. But recognize you're your natal chart. You're your chart, but you're also the whole fucking zodiac. Like, you have to remember these two principles. So you can go down any rabbit hole. Like, I believe in all of the things I used to believe in. And, you know, like, we've been aligned in a lot of different paths, and from Buddhism to the Bhakti path to all this stuff. to Christian mysticism and all of these things, they're all real and they're all talking about the same thing. It's just if you get to the unconditioned awareness part of it, the kind of root genesis, which is this imagination, and we can experience it whenever we want and use it as an operative principle, it's just like everything gets awesome and you do exactly what you're talking about. You exist all of those places. And if you really like level up and get this stuff, you, the cascading ripples of your compassion are exactly what people do in Dzogchen and like the deep, deep, deep visualizations to reach enlightenment and the guru stuff they've been doing. It's just spreading this shit out across everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And like, that's what's happening. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and it's great game design too. It's like, really entertaining quality of it is that if you like just any time in a well-designed game that some new power emerges that I completely didn't expect, that then adds an element to the game that makes the game like a million times bigger than I thought it was. There's this awe, this like, oh wow, a sense of delight. And so that's a joyful experience and everyone loves that. It's the feeling of there being a wall and the wall goes away. And that's the term breakthrough. It's like just a joy. And it's also it's a great remedy for depression. Like I just read this study they did on crows. And when crows figure out how to use tools effectively, their mood gets better. And because it's a joy. Suddenly, the moment you go from like whatever the thing is, not knowing how to walk to walking, for example, holy fucking shit. Like your capacity as a human becomes so much more potent than when you couldn't walk, when you learn to talk, when you learn to drive a car, if you ever learn to fly an airplane, when you learn how to make music, when you learn a new language. Not only does this add a completely new dimension to your experience as a human being, it actually brings a new perspective into your life, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you're a musician. So when you first started learning music, think about how music itself changed for you. Do you remember that?
Oh gosh. I mean, when you start hearing different things in songs and you can't unhear it. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. And then so suddenly like now your entire experience of music for the rest of your life is going to be radically different because you are listening and hearing things that you never even knew were there. And that came not from some kind of like wild, mystical, magical spell. It came from discipline and repetition. And the gift is here, this thing that you thought you knew up until this point. You get to listen to music in a brand new way for the rest of your life. So that's one version of it. And then also this applies, of course, to walking. If you're looking at the world from the POV of a crawling infant versus the POV of an infant that can stand, that looks like a completely different world. You know, that's a whole new world that you're seeing there. And I think a lot of people get depressed because the joy of these things, that it evaporates from their life because they're like, okay, I know how to fucking walk. I know how to drive. I made some money. I learned what I'm going to learn and it's done. And so that means they're staying in this static place. But I think this progression of crawling, standing, it's continuing to happen if you want it to, only you, like you were saying up front, you've got to be prepared for the possibility that you can learn to walk again. Only this learning to walk is going to give you a perspective that lets you see reality itself in a way so startlingly different than what you've come to think of it as, that it could drive you insane. And man, that we got to admit, there are a lot of casualties, or at least temporarily stunned, blabbering people who got outside the wall, so to speak, looked around and saw this like incredible potential, and then just went nuts and started saying they were fucking Jesus. You know what I mean?
I was one of these people. I had to pull myself. I mean, it wasn't just me, but I was diagnosed at one point as bipolar. I took lithium for 4 years. I eventually went off it with like, with my family's permission and through a psychiatrist because I wanted to do it the right way. But dude, like what you're describing happened to me. I wouldn't shut up about unconditional love. I was telling it to everyone. I had no filter. I was having all these objectively people around me seeing weird things happen, but I couldn't explain them. And more importantly, I couldn't communicate this stuff at all, not vocally, not linguistically, not energetically. So I collapsed back into a state where I was like, oh, that's not how reality works. And I stayed there for damn near 16 years. But when you do it yourself, sans drugs, without anything but these techniques or anything that works for you and you stabilize it, that's where this shit gets super weird. And that's when we start talking about things like depression and anxiety and fear and social, all of these things. I look at those now rather than these fixed states and chemical imbalances, because again, the physical world to me is an after effect. And if you just play with that idea, just see what happens. But those are threshold guardians. These are what Joseph Campbell would refer to as threshold guardians. And I love the video game stuff because when I was on Ramin's podcast, we were talking about this, which is, he was like, you know, have you played the new Mortal Kombat? And I'm like, no, the last one kind of sucked, but I heard the new one is good. I should play it. And he's like, yeah, but like, you know, it's weird when you're describing these threshold guardians, I'm thinking of Mortal Kombat. I'm like, do that. When you're playing a video game, think of the one you're doing a fatality on, or when you're going through an RPG and you're smashing things, think of those like your fears and doubts. Watch what happens. Enjoy your video games, play them, and recognize that's actually what's going on. Now, what's weird about threshold guardians is they can be internal, but they can also be external, right? A situation can come up and chaotically, it's like the Buddha sitting under the tree. If you really are at that fucking tree and sit down, what do you think is going to happen around you? Your objective outside world is going to get super weird. Weird, uncomfortable, turbulent things can happen. But if you maintain that fixedness and your knowingness that this is really how shit works, watch what happens. It's fucking insane, but in the best possible way. And your analogy and metaphor of standing up, that's what we're doing collectively right now. We're all collectively stopping crawling, stop thinking we don't have any power, stop thinking the Illuminati or Donald Trump or these other people control our lives. Recognize that there's still stuff going out there. Don't be passive. Don't be a camel and put your head in the sand, but recognize who we are. Stand the fuck up and start doing the things you want to do. And yeah, if everyone's real dream is to have that $20 million house, I mean, then we come into a conflict of whose imagination is stronger, and that's what it is. But like, the truth is most people don't want a $20 million house. Most people want to feel fulfilled, happy, successful, have a loving relationship, maybe multiple, whatever it is, not feel like they have to hide themselves. That's everyone's like dream. And that looks like a million different things. And whoever you are as an individual, your specific desires will lead you exactly to that spot. Time and time and time again. It's foolproof. It's fucking nuts. And then you can start blessing people. Your friend who doesn't have a girlfriend, your sick person. When you really believe this shit, test it out. Test it out when your sick kid is in a hospital, like my newborn. Test it out in the hospital room and see, change the place of darkness and misery and sadness to a bright, happy place and see how quickly the doctors are surprised he gets out. And then they don't see cases like that. And you can say, oh, Noah's delusional. It would have happened anyway. Whatever. So that's cool if you want to believe that, but you know, it's not that people won't die. It's just that when people die, rather than saying they're gone forever, where did they go? You go in your imagination and you say, oh, there you are. That's really you. Holy shit, I can talk to you. We can actually like, you know, Paul Selig, like everyone is doing, more and more people are waking up to this, but this is really how it works. And it's beautiful. And it changes the way you operate in this world because you drop the stuff that's just weighing you down and making you question and fear and that's the real power of this stuff. All the material stuff is fun and cool and you should love it because it's great, but it's the alchemy of the mind that takes place. That's the best.
Wow, man. Oh, I love it so much. It's like, it's such a, you know, anytime you find yourself, I find myself having this conversation, I feel so much more buoyant and joyful and excited and clear. And, but I want to talk to you about one final, for me, a personal block when it comes to this
stuff.
Sure. And if you know of these of techniques to remedy this block, which is so anytime I allow myself to sort of explore this possibility, particularly, well, whatever it may be, a material, some insane material thing I want, some interpersonal thing I want, some personal change. And especially this idea of like, oh no, you can still talk to your mom. You can talk to your dad. Yeah. They're there. I hit the identical emotional block, which is a aching in my heart. A sense of like, I don't want to try that because I don't want to deal with the heartbreak of disappointment when I realize it was just a pipe dream. How do you deal with that?
Well, the first thing is I can tell you, and I've had people hit me up about loved ones who have just passed, and I take this very, I honor this. I don't take it lightly. The first thing I can tell you this, and it's true, it's the opposite. You'll feel the opposite. You will start to dissolve what is felt as a permanent state of grief that will return everywhere at random times, and you'll experience it as a joy because you'll know they're always there with you, not in some conceptual way, in a real way, but in terms of a practical technique, that's just the conception, is go back to the traumatic incidents. Go back imaginally and use the art of revision to rewrite the scenarios where you find the places where those blocks exist, whether they were real in this world or an emotion you never expressed, or the part of you that doesn't want to accept this because maybe that's the trigger that turns everything in your world upside down completely, like to the point where like you're like thought your life was turned upside down a million times. So there's all these different things, but the real secret is this: imagine the wish fulfilled. Imagine talking to someone, it could be me, it could be anyone, saying, oh my God, you were right. It was gone. It's exactly like I said, the opposite. You do the end scenario, and it doesn't have to be a visual scene. Mm-hmm. Some people have blocks with that. It can be a phrase like, thank you, thank you. It can be, oh my God, I didn't know it could be like this. It can be anything. You can, what's very effective is using a friend's voice. You use them essentially like an angel, like a messenger. You use a friend's voice saying like, it's so great you got there, whatever it is. And it just, it happens. And like, all I can say is the age of the guru is dying and is just about to be dead. And what that means is you're your own guru. Everyone is the guru. You teach yourself this. So these techniques are freely available. The first thing I did when I found out that this shit worked for real is I made a pledge that I'm literally never charging for this. I'll charge for other things I do, divination and music and all these other things, but I'm never charging for this because this is to me the sorcerer's stone. If you fully grok this concept, like you drop that heartbreak. You take off that old shoe, like, you know, Ram Dass's old friend said, you know, his disembodied friend. Ram Dass knows about this. And I'm telling you, man, it's the best feeling. Like, you'll cry. I guarantee you'll cry, but you'll be the happiest you have. It'll be tears of joy. You'll be like, oh my God, mom and dad, like, this isn't a delusion. This isn't me going crazy. This isn't some, you know, trick of the mind. And then, like, when you can listen to what they're saying and know it's them. I mean, I'm telling you, man, like, my mom and dad are still alive, luckily, in this reality. But I'm telling you, we choose these states of consciousness. We choose to feel this grief and the depths of it. Like, it's a choice. People who don't let people, I say beings who don't incarnate in this reality are pussies. They're just pussies. That's all they are. Like, they're pussies. They don't want to come down here and feel all this shit and get locked in a body and fucking get pinned and crucified to this consciousness. They're pussies. And I heard Neville Goddard, he always, it's the funniest thing. It's some weird talk. It's on YouTube. I put it up there on Mind Pod Network somewhere, but he talks about like the beings, other dimensions of existence and higher planes of consciousness. They don't like to come here because it stinks. Like, it smells like some shitty place. And so like, fuck it, we don't want to come. But like, we come here because we're fucking badasses and we're rebels and we want to experience this shit so we can transcend it, recognize what we're really doing here, and then just like, oh shit, now it's time to really fucking live life.
I love that you're dissing hyperdimensional entities at the close of the podcast, and it did bring up to me, brought to mind a ketamine memory where I encountered some kind of entity, which hasn't happened as much as people might expect for me, but this being was disembodied, playful. It was doing something. It was playing a game. I didn't understand the game at all, but it was aware that I was aware of it. And it expressed to me something along the lines of like, why would you do human? Because it was like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that? It's like, it's so dense. That's what it expressed. It was like, that's such a dense game. And it was doing some kind of weird thing where it was like extending itself through light. And it was really enjoying somehow like stretching its translucent sort of non-static physicality through light in various like forms. And it was looking at me like, oh boy, you're stuck with that fucking body. Why? Why do you play that game? It was really, but it wasn't judgmental. It was just more like, wow. It's kind of was treating, it just matches what you're saying because it was sort of looking at me the way I look at people who do those like hardcore mud races.
Right.
You know, like that. It's like, why are you doing that? There's so many better incarnations. But that's cool. I agree with you. I think there is something wonderful about this particular realm. And I'll always stick up for humanness and human incarnation. I like it here quite a lot.
Yeah, it's fucking the best.
Noah, I am so grateful to you for this conversation. And it's interesting, you know, I always will have a bit of a lot of a skeptic in me, but your tweets really do kind of get in my head, man. And I think that you're doing a lot of good by putting this stuff out there in the world, and your interpretation feels very grounded. And and especially the part, which is go see your invitation for people that you got to test this yourself. Like if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, okay. We're fucking nuts. You're listening.
Exactly. You know? And that's, I encourage people who feel like that to test that internally too, right? Because that is such a threshold guardian that so many of us have trouble with. And it just test it. Just get over that, put it in a psychic box to the side and test it. And then if weird shit happens, you have people like Duncan and me who, you know, are experimenting with this shit. And maybe we have another technique or something that can show you that you have everything you need. And that's really that's what every mystic throughout the ages has been saying. It's you. It's all you. It really is.
Where can people find you?
The Synchronicity Podcast, syncpodcast.com. I'm around Instagram, Twitter. I'm loving it now. I'm loving the internet. It's just a fun place.
Well, I'm really excited to try some of these techniques you mentioned, and I got to talk to you about this incredible Moog. But Hare Krishna, my friend, thank you so much, and I'll see you around. Thank you so much for listening to this blessed episode with Noah Lampert. All the links you need to find Noah are going to be at DougCottrell.com, along with the offer codes to our wonderful sponsors, Burrow and Instacart. If you like the DTFH, won't you give us a nice rating, please? And subscribe. We'll see you soon. Until then, Hare Krishna.